Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got on the old gospel bus tonight?
Well, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Lila, and me.
All right. Well, Sister Lila, what do you have in the way of prayer requests, prayer praises tonight?
I do have some prayer requests, three post-unspoken prayer requests. One for my friend Aaron and her nephew, and one for my roommate. And unspoken for me, and also a regular prayer request for my sister Emily, that she gets proper housing, and also for the gospel bus that you guys get that, and also for all the first responders and all the people, all the staff in the nursing homes.
All right, and then, of course, we got, of course, the prayer request for, like Lila said, the bus for the blind ministry. We got a prayer request for my health, and then, of course, for the Six Eyes Radio Network, for the funding for that to keep going. And then, of course, we got prayer requests for Pastor Quick and his wife, especially his wife, as she is had her surgery rescheduled, so we want to keep her in prayer for that. And, of course, now, Sister Ruth, I know that Emily just joined us. Do you either of you have any requests?
Well, right now, she's right here.
Hey, yo.
Okay, you got any prayer requests, prayer praises for us, Emily?
I can't even hear you on this phone.
You have to do it to your ear. I found out there's something wrong.
Hey, honey.
Okay, go ahead.
The thing is, when I went down here to the store tonight, there's a cashier. Her name is Lisa. She asked for prayer tonight as a special unspoken. I'll have to explain to you off the air.
Okay. Anything else?
Also, be praying for me because I slid my keister on the way back. My keister ain't feeling so hot right now.
And Em, to help that phone, just press the bottom left-hand button. That should bring it up to the speakerphone.
Bottom left? Okay. Can you hear me, Ken?
Yeah, did that help?
Yeah. Really, on this phone, you hit the bottom left.
Okay. All right. And is that all for you, Emily?
Also, be keeping Mom in prayer. She hasn't been feeling so kosher either, and also for Dad.
Yep, and also we got a prayer of praise on that front, that they got their phone lines fixed out there where your mom was at, so we don't want to fail to mention that.
Yes, that was a blessing. I was sleeping when you came and woke me up to tell me my mom was on the phone.
Okay. Well, give the phone to Ruthie, and we'll see what she has for us.
Okay, Kenny.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if Lila mentioned it, but be keeping her roommate, Lisa, in prayer.
She did mention that.
Okay, I didn't know she did, Ken.
Okay, now give it to Ruthie, and we'll see what she's got, and then we'll get ready to have a good hoedown for Jesus.
Okay, here she is. She just wiped her hand. It's on speaker.
Okay, what I got basically is pray for everybody out there running around in this snow. It's supposed to, I don't know if the weather's going to get better or worse, but I just know that everybody hopefully have a happy Thanksgiving. And God is in charge, so whatever's going on in your life, he'll take care of it. Good enough.
Amen. And also, one last request. Remember to, before you sit down to that meal, remember to give God the thanks for what he's bountifully given you. Because there are those out there right now that would love that Thanksgiving dinner, and they don't have it. So remember that what God gave you, he blessed you with. Amen. So let's remember that. Before we eat and chow down, remember to give God thanks for what he's given you. Amen.
Kenny?
Yeah.
We need to pray for Emily. She fell down, so
yeah,
she hurt herself, and so just pray about that.
She mentioned that.
Okay.
So is everybody ready to hoe down and have a boogie time for Jesus? All right, here we go.
Calvary, where God gives us delight. Jesus came to give his all for you and me. We'll find his gift to us flowing from Calvary. Heaven can be yours, but you must understand there's only one way in, and it does not come through man. Jesus took your place, he paid your sin debt free. Your salvation will come to you, flowing from Calvary. Flowing from Calvary, where Jesus gave his life. Flowing from Calvary, where God gives us life. His all for you and me. We'll find his gift to us flowing from Calvary. Oh, we'll find his gift to us flowing from Calvary.
Thank you.
who's losing a child, or an old man who's hurting, and he's been there a while, and a young girl in trouble who's tired of it all. I tell them how sweet peace is free for all. There's a rich man who's found out that love's not the same, and there's so many people with things they can't tell. When
you've gone,
'cause our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. And it's always true.
And friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. No, a lifetime's not too long.
If you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday. For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the King.
Takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday,
with AJ and the Squad.
With AJ and the Squad, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6.
And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
And you notice he's talking about the one who will be the Messiah, will be the one to change the heart of the father to the children. So this is a wake-up call for us fathers. And we'll hear that one more time.
And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
And that, once again, was found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. Amen.
Go, go, I love you. Jesus loves you. Go.
I'm so dear. Glad I'm so
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay-to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. It is now time for Tim Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Amen. Hello there. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with the Hebrew Word of the Week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week this week is the Hebrew word for law, which is Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Torah, and the Hebrew word for law, Psalm 119, verse 113 declares, I hate vain thoughts, but by law do I love. And again, the law, Torah, the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And again, Hebrew word of the week is the Hebrew word for law, which is Torah, T-O-R-A-H. Bumble not, and I said unto thee, you must be born again. First, if the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Come unto Jesus, unto him that loved us and washed our sins in his own blood by the works of the law, shall no man be justified. Till next time, this has been Brother Timothy Gruber with the Hebrew Word of the Week.
Thank you very much. This next song was written by a man right here in Folsom Prison. And last night was the first time I've ever sung this song. Anyway, this song was written by our friend Glenn Shirley. And hope we do your song justice, Glenn. We're going to do our best. God had a place here at Folsom. But
Lot or put pads upon your pews. What good is a picture-perfect stage if you're missing all the cues? I don't care if your pastor is super-powered and your program's always new. What you need is love and truth, and men are gonna come to you. It doesn't matter that you know the Bible. It's all just in your head. The thing I need to ask you, have you done the thing I said? Do you love your wife? Love her and for your children, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? To the widow and the orphan cry alone. I don't care if you pray for miracles. I don't care if you speak with tongues. I don't care if you've said you love me. In every song you've sung, it doesn't matter that your sacrifice of praise is loud enough to raise the dead. The thing I need to ask you, have you done the thing I said? Do you love your wife? And with all you've got inside you, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers, do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? To the widow and the orphan cry alone. Lord, when were you a prisoner that we did not come to you? When was it that we saw you sick that we didn't follow through? Every time you turned your head and pretended not to see, when you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me.
Baby.
am. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Rosie, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Trucking of Astabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Astabula. Blind Trucking of Astabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there. Ready? Can't wait. Love you. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Astabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
And tonight we're going to be giving a little message out of Exodus chapter 3, and today we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 15.
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of
Midian,
and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God unto Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of a fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he saw, and he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmakers, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and Perizzites, and the Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, thy cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said, Moreover, unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the people, the Lord thy God of your fathers, the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is the name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.
Now, if you notice, we have the story of the burning bush, as it's called. It's where God had to get Moses' attention. How about you, dear Christian? Does God have to use something supernatural to get your attention?
when he wants to call you to do something for him, does he have to use a, quote, burning bush, unquote, to get your attention, to get you to wake up, to say, look, it's time to serve him? And then as we continue to read in chapter 3, you find, what does Moses do when he's first called? That's right. He makes excuses. The first thing he makes the excuse, well, what am I going to tell them? Who am I going to say sent me? What's your name, God? What's your name? What should I tell them your name is? Now, did you notice at the beginning it said that the angel of the Lord appeared in the burning bush? Did you ever notice that? But later it says that it was God in the burning bush. So who really was in the burning bush? And he said, I am that I am. Who was in the burning bush? In the New Testament, Jesus said to the children of Israel, when they asked him, he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. So it was Jesus in the burning bush who spoke to Moses, the second part of the Trinity, God the Son. And he's speaking to Moses and answering the very first excuse, if you will, of Moses. Then, if that's not bad enough, later we continue through the chapter as you read. Moses starts to say, well, they're not going to believe me. They're going to want to see a sign. And so God gives him a series of signs where Moses puts his hand into his shirt, so to speak, into his bosom, pulls it out, and it's leprous. Then he puts his hand back in, pulls it back out, and it's made as new as his other hand. He throws down a staff. It's made into a serpent. So he's given these signs to prove, so that he could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has sent him. But then Moses has what he believes the ultimate excuse. Those of you who are part of the Holiness Bibles for the Blind ministry, those of you who feel a calling, but yet you have some sort of inconvenience, as the world calls it, an impairment. We call them at Holiness Bibles for the Blind a disadvantage. The world calls them disabilities. The world calls them a handicap. We call them a hindrance. But whatever term you choose to use, are you like Moses and say, well, I've got this disability, I've got this disadvantage. God, you can't certainly use me. There's no way you can use me. I'm blind. I'm an epileptic. I'm mentally slow. I'm deaf. I'm in a wheelchair. I just can't be used of you, God, because how can I do X? Well, remember what the scripture says in the New Testament. Paul said, when I am weak, then he is strong. when God uses the weak people of this world, he chooses to use the weak people of this world. He chooses to use those who are blind. He chooses to use the poor of this world. But he uses the weak people of this world. God says he takes the, basically, the retards of this world to confound the wise ones of this world. Why? Because God is the one to give the wisdom. God uses the blind ones of this world to give the sighted ones spiritual sight. Remember, it's just blind ones who could spiritually see the things the sighted can't. It's the deaf ones that God uses that can hear the things of God that the hearing seem to miss. So, remember, are you one of those who God wants to use? Then don't let your inconvenience be a hindrance from God using you. Say as it does in Isaiah's day, "Here I am, Lord, use me." Amen. And now it is time for Sister Ruth to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Words are what you make them, your master or your slave. Words can make you friendless or bring the friends you crave. For words can make an enemy or make a faithful friend. Words can slash and rip and tear, and words can cure and mend. Some words are speeding bullets that wound or sometimes slay, and some are healing potions that drive despair away. Words can wreck and ruin. Words can build or save. Words are what you make them, your master or your slave.
All right, Sister Ruth, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Okay, well, love can build a bridge. Can also concern yourself with Jesus when he died on the cross, that he gave that like a bridge to us and that, and him and God, so it's kind of like come together. And then that words poem is kind of like you got to be careful what words you use. But if you use love words, like the song Love Can Build a Bridge, you would definitely have some similarity there because you show your love to each other when you know Jesus.
So what would you say is the common message between the two?
It's about love.
Okay. So you say it's about love.
Yeah.
Well. Because technically, words and love can build a bridge have to do with the words you use, and you said using the word love. So I'll give that to you.
All right, darling. I like the idea. Thank you. You're always so nice to me.
Well, you were close to not getting it, but you ended up turning it around. So I'll give it to you. So you're 9 for 9. Let's see if you can keep the roll going.
I'm going to do it my best. Was that the judge?
Yeah, that was the judge.
Okay. All right. We're cool.
And now we'll continue on with the program. Amen.
Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Time's are upon us, and a fact there is no doubt.
Supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19:9 in your King James Version. Anyone who's familiar with Christ's Sermon on the Mount can pretty well name several of the Beatitudes. For example, blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, and so forth. May I say you do not have to go to the Sermon on the Mount to come in contact with Beatitudes. There are over 200 such blessed statements in the Bible. There's seven in the book of Revelation. May I call your attention to the fourth beatitude of Revelation, which says, blessed are they which who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a rule which must be followed in Scripture if we are to maintain our spiritual equilibrium. By that I mean that in order to find out what a verse, several verses above it, and then some of the verses below or after it. That is, read the context and see what that particular verse is talking about. For instance, the 19th chapter of Revelation opens up with a magnificent scene of rejoicing over the destruction of Babylon. That is ecclesiastical Babylon, which is joined with and is controlling apostate Christendom, which at that time will be headed up by the false prophet. Boo hiss. I don't like him, you can tell. Whom the Bible says is to be associated with the Antichrist, Satan's Messiah, and is spoken of as the great idolatrous, meaning one who has corrupted the earth with their fornication, evil ways. In other words, this great idolatrous of the 19th chapter of Revelation has in previous scripture claimed to be the bride of Christ. That is, she has told the world that she is in all reality the true church and the bride of the Savior. But as we come to the opening of the 19th chapter of Revelation, we find all heaven being filled with the shouting of hallelujahs of the true servants of Christ because the idolatrous woman has come to her awful end in the 18th chapter of Revelation. Please be assured that God doesn't want any of us to be confused, misinformed, or left in spiritual darkness because the Bible tells us how the idolatrous woman of Revelation is destroyed. Scripture, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which receive no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, or Antichrist. These ten horns, ten nations, have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall hate the whore, idolatrous, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts, bringing the hearts of
the 10 nations to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast till the words of God shall be fulfilled. That's Revelation 17, 12 through 17 in your King James Version. In other words, we find in Revelation chapter 18, of course, read the whole chapter, you'll understand better, the prophetical destruction or godly calamity that comes upon the idolatrous woman who has for centuries claimed to be the true bride of Christ. But in Revelation 17, 12 through 17, we find the Antichrist, who is one of the beasts of the book of Revelation, got the help and cooperation of 10 nations in Europe through God's permission as well, and they unitedly brought about the swift destruction of the false bride of Christ. We go into the 19th chapter of Revelation after having seen the woman described in the 17th chapter and then ultimately destroyed in the 18th chapter. We see the scene changing in heaven because we hear, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." Revelation 19, 7 through 9. So, when we come to the early part of the 19th chapter of Revelation, we see a tremendous throng of people, somewhat disturbed and in a high state of excitement. And we have them crying, "Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, idolatrous, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of the servants at her hand." Revelation 19, 1 and 2, King James Version. This great throng of people up in heaven are excited and tremendously appreciate of God that by his righteous judgment has dealt justly with the false bride or the idolatrous woman who has committed fornication with the kings of the earth. In the scene taking place before the throne of God, we observe the 24 elders and the four beasts falling down before the throne and worshiping God and giving their amends to the work which he had just completed in the 18th chapter. We see Christ's bride marching down the glorious streets of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, ready to walk into the celestial banquet hall of God, where they will sit down and take their place at the long-cherished marriage supper of the Lamb. This marriage supper takes place up in heaven. The Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. The wife is the church. But all those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in all ages, beginning with righteous Abel. Hebrews 11, 4. We must remember, though, there's no difference now between Jew and Greek, servant and master, male and female, because God's word says we're all one in Christ. Naturally, the question comes into the mind of the average listener. If this seed is in the first part of the 19th chapter of Revelation, refers to the marriage supper, when did the wedding take place? The wedding of the bride takes place from Pentecost on and will be concluded at the time of the rapture. Israel is the Old Testament wife of Jehovah, guilty of spiritual adultery and repudiated of her husband, though yet to be wooed and won back to him in his house. But the New Testament church in Christ, new wife, espoused unto him as a chaste virgin, as we've told in the book of Ephesians, Scripture, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, KJV. So, from Old Testament scripture now, as well as from revelations contained in Paul's writings in the New Testament, we learn that Israel was the adulterous wife of Jehovah. But she is to be forgiven and restored after the New Testament church is raptured during this 2,000-year grace period, which is now in the last hours of its duration. We are seeing the finality of the New Testament church duration on the earth. The bride of Christ has taken the place of Israel during this period of time, but there's coming a day when both wives are to become one, as the scripture says, neither Jew nor Greek, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28 KJV. We have this figure taught in the Old Testament under Moses, when Moses came unto his own brethren when they were in Egypt, and his own brethren rejected him as their leader and deliverer. Moses turned and left them and went to the Gentile Jethro, his father-in-law, and took unto him a Gentile wife, and then later came back to his brother and was really readily accepted by them. Then his Gentile wife and the children by the Gentile wife became associated with the 12 tribes. So it will be the nation of Israel, the adulterous wife of the Old Testament, and the new Gentile wife, the church born again of the New Testament. They both will come together during the thousand-year reign of Christ, and then they will be neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, but all one in Christ. As we open the book of Revelation and searchingly look into the third heaven, where God's throne is located, we see a tremendous time of rejoicing, a time of hallelujahs, a time for the 24 elders and 4 beasts to humble themselves before the throne of God, each one praising our God for the judgment with which he has judged the great idolatrous of Revelation 17 and 18, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. To understand the wedding and the marriage supper more fully, we must look at the old weddings custom of the Israelites in Palestine. Their weddings usually took place at night in the home of the bride's father. Then the bridegroom and his wife would immediately leave the house of the bride's father upon completion of the wedding ceremony, and they would go immediately to the house of the bridegroom's father for the wedding marriage supper, which always followed the wedding. Now, when they did, it was a time of great rejoicing. All the relatives would be there, some rich, some poor, some well-dressed, so very poorly dressed, but in order that everybody might be made to feel comfortable and in no wise feel humiliated or embarrassed because they might not have as good shoes, as good a dress, or as good a suit as some of the others attending the wedding, it was the custom during the Jewish weddings to give everybody a common garment known as the wedding garment, which in all reality was like a big flour sack with a hole cut in the top for the head and 2 holes cut for the arms. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. When everybody put on that wedding garment, you couldn't tell a rich uncle from a poor uncle. They all looked alike because they all had on the wedding garment. Well, the wedding garment in the Bible is spoken of as fine linen. It's not made of some toe-sacking, reconditioned, pinched cloth, but Bible speaks about the New Testament bride of Christ wearing a wedding garment made out of fine, expensive, exclusive linen. Actually, a question mark might come into the minds of some of you who possibly haven't been in the family of the New Testament church very long. You're wondering just what this wedding garment, as far as you are concerned, could possibly be. The scripture tells us here in Revelation 19:8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. In other words, it's the righteous actions of the saints. Whenever a person is born again, he begins to put on the wedding garment. He begins to do godly things. He becomes a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, KJV. Christ brings out this specific point when he teaches the parable of the king coming in to see the guests. In other words, the churches today are a gathering place or recruiting station. There is gathered in the local church both the saved and the unsaved. And in this parable, wherein Christ is explaining the wedding garment, the king comes in to see the guests who are gathering for the marriage. And he sees there a man who has not on the wedding garment. Naturally, this fellow sticks out like a sore thumb among the other guests because he doesn't have on the specially designed and prepared garment known as the wedding garment. Because he doesn't have on the wedding garment, he is not born again. He's just a plain old church member. So the king says unto the servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness, because he represents a person in the church who's not born again. When Christ comes in the air to remove the church, he will see the people, especially Christians, with their names on the church rolls, having been baptized, singing in the choir, tithing, attending Wednesday night prayer meeting with the pastor and the janitor. When the king comes in the air to rapture the church, he will see all the people who do not have on the wedding garment, but who are dressed only in their own selves. Righteousness, and the king is going to expose them in that hour. That's why he says to his born-again servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. So those people who do not have on the wedding garment are going to be left behind when the church is raptured, and they will be here to go through the tribulation period. We, the born-again, Bible says, are the light of the world. When we go in the rapture, the whole world is to be thrown into a state of spiritual darkness. And it's unto this outer darkness, a spiritual darkness, into which the world will enter during the tribulation period, known in prophecy as the time of Jacob's trouble. But please remember this one fact. Ye are the light of the world. It's through this present habitation of this sinful earth by the Christian people that this earth today has spiritual light. We who are born again are the light of the world. The Bible says we're also the salt of the earth, salt the preserving force. It's through the presence of the born-again people on this earth today that God is preserving the earth and keeping his wrath from turning it upside down. Those people who are not born again should get down on their knees and thank God every day of their lives for the fanatical, peculiar people in this world known as the church, the bride, the born-again. We are their spiritual light, and we are their preserving force, keeping the wrath of God Almighty away from them. When we go in the rapture, the spiritual light of this world will be removed. We leave this earth, the preserving force of this earth will be removed, and the Bible says that in all hell on this let loose at that time. Scripture, for then meaning at that time, but after the church is raptured, shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time known or ever shall be. That's Matthew 24, 21 KJV. Those who do not have on the wedding garment are to be cast into outer darkness. It's in this outer darkness that the people will weep and wail and gnash their teeth. It's after we go in the rapture that the professing Christians who have been left behind because they did not have the Spirit of God dwelling in them will realize too late that they have missed the rapture, and the only thing confronting them then is going into the tribulation period under the satanic Antichrist, and in order to be saved during that time, they will have to endure unto the end of the breath in their nostrils, that is, give out their testimony. And then as they are physically killed by the forces of hell at that time, they will be saved. That's why the Bible says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Why were they not chosen? Because they refused to obey what God told them to do. They refused to meet the conditions laid down in Scripture. They were not born again. They only joined the church. They went through the ritual of the local assembly, satisfying the local church authorities in order to become members of the local body. They never became members of the higher body, the bride of Christ. So they're left behind. And they're going to enter into the tribulation period, and nothing but trouble, anguish, and remorse of soul awaits them. My dear listener, you actually have it in your power right now to say what company you will be in for eternity. If you say yes to Christ now, you'll be with the bride up in heaven. As we saw in the first part of the 19th chapter of Revelation, where the great throngs of heaven were rejoicing and shouting, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Why? Because God has just rained his wrath down upon the false bride of Christ, that ecclesiastical idolatress who told the world that she was the bride, and who, the Bible says, committed fornication with the kings of the earth, and who was responsible for murdering the saints of God. Because you have on the wedding garment, you're going to be up in heaven, as described in the first part of the 19th chapter of Revelation, and together with multiplied millions of the blood-brought throng, you are going to enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's why God gives us the picture of the Jewish wedding. In Palestine, for the wedding always took place in the home of the bride's father, and they went to the home of the bridegroom's father immediately afterwards for the marriage supper, just as Moses turned to the Gentiles after his rejection by his own brethren to take a Gentile wife, so the Lord Jesus Christ, having been rejected by his brethren, the Jews turned and said to Peter, "Who say you that I am?" Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Christ said to Peter, "Thou art Peter, Petros, a small stone, and upon this rock I will build my church, upon this Petra, a large altar." In other words, Christ was the cornerstone, rejected by Israel, as he was to be the head of the corner, or the new blood bought church. Christ said, "I will establish my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The wedding of the Gentile wife to Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, is taking place on the earth right now. The scripture is for that is found in Luke 12:35-37 in your King James Version. Now, scripture, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he, Christ, will return from the wedding at the time of the rapture, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." Luke 12:35-37, that is the marriage supper. Any person who accepts Christ as his Savior is immediately wedded to Christ. Scripture, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Ephesians 5:30-32. Just as two people, when they are wed, become bone of bone and flesh of flesh, because the scripture says, "And they two shall be one flesh," so we become one with him. We're wedded to Christ at the time of our conversion and acceptance of him as our Savior. But we're wedded to him, were to put on the whole armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, take the sword of truth, and have our loins girt with truth, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, according to Ephesians 6:12-17, KJV. Wow, we have on this whole armor. We're to keep our lights burning, because we're to be living apostles or epistles for Christ. We're to be living witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, our husband. That's why the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:16. Your good works are your light. In other words, if you don't have any works, you won't have any light. People with whom we come in contact during the day can't see the Holy Spirit in us because our flesh is corrupt. When we're born again, our flesh is not changed, but it remains corrupt. That's why corrupt body must be changed before it goes to the marriage supper, because the word says it must put on incorruption. So when we're ready to Christ, we're in put to the on the armor, and we're to let our lights be shining. When we're to wait for our Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that is when the wedding is completed, or when the body and the bride of Christ is completely made up. The last person is going to be wedded to Christ, the Son. So then Christ will come in the air, and when he does, it will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We will be here on the earth one moment, and then the next we will be gone to the marriage supper. Now, Paul tells us that it will be about 1/20th of a second. That is, in the twinkling of an eye, that's when the Bible says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." That is, watching for the coming of the Lord. That's why God told Habakkuk 600 years before the first coming of Christ, "Write the vision and take it plain on tablets that he may run while he reads it." Things we're to watch for are written in the Bible. If you never read your Bible, then you don't have the faintest idea what you as a Christian are to be watching for. In the Bible, it plainly tells us that there are a total of 257 signs for the second coming of Jesus Christ. There were 196 signs of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know ourselves from past history that the people of that day were not watching for Christ's first coming. They did not know the signs. When Christ did come, they weren't ready to receive him because they said, "We have no king but Caesar." He came to be their king, but they weren't watching. And when he did come, they didn't recognize him. What about you? What about me? Are we watching? Do we know the signs for Christ's second coming? Because the Bible says, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation, Hebrews 9:28, KJV. In the original text it says, unto those who are eagerly expecting him. Are you eagerly expecting him? Do you have on the wedding garment? Have you trimmed your lamp? And is your light shining brightly? That's why the Bible says, blessed are those servants who the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Luke 12:35-37, that is the marriage supper. So you can see, there's a great time of rejoicing ahead for the true born-again child of God. That's why it says in Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Aren't you glad that you are part of the wife? Because the scripture further says in the 8th verse of Revelation 19, and to her, the wife, the bride, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Of course, you should read that entire chapter 19 of Revelation. It's very interesting. And he, the bridegroom Christ, saith unto me, John, write. Don't trust it to your memory. Write it down. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Revelation 19:7-9, KJV. So don't let anybody talk you out of being wedded to Christ. Don't let anybody hoodwink or Houdini you into missing the rapture of the church and going in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what the Bible tells us. Blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a special blessing ahead for the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ, because just as in the old Jewish weddings, after the marriage was completed, then the bridegroom took his new wife into his father's house where the marriage supper was conducted. So Christ is going to take us up to the third heaven where his father's house is located, and there in the third heaven around the throne of God will take place in the great heavenly marriage supper. That sounds great. Yeah, I'll bet you're all ready to dance and praise the Lord now. The earth is going to experience a tremendous change because the spiritual light will be gone and the spiritual preserving force will be gone. We are the salt of the earth, and it's only through the born-again bride of Christ that God's wrath is being kept from this old earth. And the promise has been made to the Philadelphia church that God will keep it from the hour of temptation, which is the tribulation period. And it's only because we are the salt of the earth that we're able to preserve this present civilization for mankind. Once we're gone in the rapture to the marriage supper, and we know this is a great time of troubles coming upon the earth, the like of which the world has never seen. We've seen that through the marriage of the individual to Christ, through the medium of the new birth, we have been joined to him. And it's this great body of believers who eventually will complete the New Testament church as Christ's new wife. That's why the Bible says that Christ loved the church and gave himself up to death for her in order that he might make her holy, cleansing her with the baptismal water of the word, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious bride, without spot or wrinkle or any other defect, holy and unblemished. We've seen that Israel was the adulterous wife, but she be forgiven and restored later. As Romans 11:26 tells us, after the time of the Gentiles is completed. During the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the Gentile wife and the children by the Gentile wife will become associated with Israel. So be with Israel, the adulterous wife of the Old Testament, and the Gentile wife, the church of the New Testament. They will eventually come together, and then there will be neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, but all one in Christ. Our lights are kept burning through our good works because no one can see the Holy Spirit in us. Only the good works that we do day by day can be seen, and they are manifestation of the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's by these acts of godliness that people will realize we are born again. We are children of God. Every morning when we rise, we should endeavor to determine to make that day the very best day of our lives so far, insomuch as our living for Christ is concerned. Then it's a shrek moment. Jesus Christ, when his bride is completed, will come in the clouds of glory, give a shout, and those who've fallen asleep, together with those who are living at that time, will be all caught up into the air to go to meet him in the skies, to go into the marriage supper. Let us consider the following scripture. For this we say unto you, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, precede, or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord Jesus Christ himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I tell you right now, I'm ready to praise the Lord for hours here. I mean, I don't know if I can go on. This is wonderful. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 18. That's why the Bible tells us in the Gospel of Luke, Scripture, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Luke 12:37, KJV. The food which shall be served at the marriage supper will be the same kind of food he served the two men of Emmaus. Scripture, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24:27, KJV. The same kind of food he served to the 10 apostles after his resurrection in the upper room. Scripture. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Luke 24:45, KJV. Bible says, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. 1 Corinthians 13:12, KJV. In other words, the food served at the marriage supper will be spiritual enlightenment because we are to be changed from mortal to immortal beings, and we're going to come back to the earth to rule with Christ 1,000 years, so we need to know the reason for God's whole plan from beginning to end. That's the purpose of the marriage supper. And we go next to the next lesson is the two suppers.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug
and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater, from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans. Do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead. If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X, E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay-to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, and Sister Emily, who do we got with us here at the end of this broadcast?
Naturally, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and angels, and it's just you, me, and Early.
All right.
She happened to be in the other room, bang, booming.
All right. Well, with that, Em, would you like the privilege?
If I could get Ray's attention, I will let her do that, because right now I can barely talk with that screaming.
Well, you could try.
Hey, Ruru! Sorry about that. Hang on.
I don't think she can hear you.
Yeah, because she's more worried about banging.
Well, then, why don't you just let me do it, Em? Okay?
Okay.
Well, Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this program. We ask you, Lord, for that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, I yield. Now, Lord, until the next appointed time, we ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord, to remember that you're always with us. And, Lord Jesus, help us to be better servants for you. Now, Lord Jesus, as we depart this place but not your presence, we ask you to go with us to the next appointed time. In your precious name, amen and amen. And we invite everybody for tomorrow with Dr. Doug Quick, as he'll be with us in the house again on the Jumbo Braille program, 9 p.m. tomorrow, here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless everybody.
God bless and good night, everybody.